how widespread is modern day slavery here in Australia and around the world as well? Because I don't feel like it's something we hear enough about.
One of the difficulties is that it's really hard to measure slavery. Modern slavery takes many forms and can include forced marriage. But it's clear that the International Labour Organization says that there are over 40 million people in forced labour around the world. There are children experiencing forced labour and terrible forms of exploitation. We see around the world that there are people working in agriculture, in manufacturing, in the electronics industry, people who are coerced and forced to work.
Wow. I really honestly didn't think of it as an issue that we would experience here in Australia.
It's a really big issue. And just a couple of weeks ago, the US Department of Labor released its most recent list of goods around the world that have been made with forced labor and child labor. You can Google the list and it's absolutely chilling. You know, you can see that electronics are made with forced labor, and we import them into Australia. We import goods that have been made with forced labor and child labor. Our clothing can be implicated. Some of the goods that we use in construction can be made with forced labour around the world. It's really worthwhile having a look at that list. You know, it is authoritative and credible.
And Sally, how does Freedom Hub Cafe help survivors of slavery?
Well, first of all, the cafe is actually more our funding method to help our survivor school. So we run a survivor school. We've been doing that a lot longer than we've had the cafe, whereby we're the only service that has long-term rehabilitation and support for victims as they rebuild their lives. So we're really the aftercare, really. We're not involved in the crisis and the rescue in any way. They referred on to us from people like the Red Cross and Salvation Army, and then we work with them. And we really look at what their reasons for coming to this country was and what their goals are and what they would like to do while they're waiting for their court cases to come around. And we really do our best to help them recover from the trauma and refocus their lives. So it's not all about just sitting there waiting for a court case. It can be quite depressing doing that. So, yeah, we help them find work, and we have employment partners that help us with that as well. Whereas the cafe itself is really just something, I just thought there had to be something so that every Australian could be involved in doing something about the crime and helping us fund what we do. I've really gone down the social private enterprise funding model rather than government funding to do what we do.
And what a beautiful concept it is, and what a wonderful thing that you are doing. Now, Maurice Payne reiterated Australia's commitment to ending modern slavery, and indeed the government is funding programs such as the Support for Trafficked People program delivered by the Red Cross, which you mentioned before, Sally. Ladies, do you think the government is doing enough? I guess unless it's completely eradicated, no one is doing enough. But in terms of policy and funding in this area, do you think that we're, you know, putting enough of a fight up?
Well, there's it'd be good to hear from Sally too. But, you know, from my perspective, from Anti-Slavery Australia, where we do provide legal representation for trafficked people. And, you know, we're helping over 100 people at the moment who have experienced slavery in Australia. So from my perspective, as the director of the research centre at UTS, you know, I would say that there needs to be more attention paid to awareness raising around Australia, you know, more resources put into training frontline officers who are likely to come in contact with exploited people. We need to look at how we regulate hiring of labour. You know, what is the role of third-party contractors, whether there should be more regulation around that. But importantly, it's so critical to think about the victim and the survivor and put them at the centre of everything. And that means making sure that they have the support that they need, to leave exploitation and to begin a life outside that. And what we've seen in Australia is that we do have a support program that you've mentioned, but beyond that, there's a need to do some other things. And the thing that I am promoting at the moment is the absolute necessity of developing a national compensation scheme that applies equally and equitably around Australia, so that if a person is exploited in Tasmania, they receive the same kind of support and compensation that they would receive if they were in Western Australia.
Is that not currently the case?
No, it's not.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a major issue. So currently, survivors can apply to any of the state or territory schemes.
Mm.
The schemes are all different. They all compensate different forms of harm. What we see in this space is that Commonwealth crimes are broader than the state's schemes. So a victim of a Commonwealth crime may not be able to make an application to any of the states and territories because their form of exploitation is not recognised. So this is why we need, you know, some national consistency would make an enormous difference to survivors.
Sally, do you see people falling through the cracks in this respect?
Yeah, well, that's sort of why the Freedom Hub was developed, really, because even the Support the Choked Persons program is quite a short program. So, I'm much more the aftercare. And the stuff that Jenny's talking about is fantastic, and I love the fact that we've all got parts to play in this.
Mm.
But for me, it's very much, you know, two years down the track, and they're still struggling, still can't leave the bedroom for fear or spending all day in their pyjamas. So I'm really much more helping those that really, they need to get on with their lives. So I mean, I've got a perfect example. Only this morning, I've had to send one of my counsellors out to someone who's just realised she's got $200 left to make and can't pay the rent next week. You know, and her landlord's threatening to kick her out. So sometimes they sort of, in her case, she's a situation where she's got a job, she's been out there and been on top of the world, really, because she feels like she's living independently again and everything's going really well. And then it only takes something like this to send them right backwards to, oh, my gosh, I'm not coping in life, I'm suicidal, I've got no family here, I've got no friends here, there's no one to help me, what do I do? And we just get these emergency calls all the time.
Mm.
And so we're madly trying to find her somewhere right now where she can move to for free. Well, there's a temporary accommodation this morning. I've got people that will do that. And I've got people that will give her some work for some money while we try and, you know, it's frustrating that they leave it to the crisis point to tell us. If you'd have said a month ago, hey, I'm in trouble, it might have been a lot easy. But this morning we're running around trying to help her. So we're well down the track. I think everything that Jenny was saying is really important, that right at the beginning there needs to be a lot more help and a lot more care and a lot more money helped at the crisis and the identification. And, you know, all that's going on right now with the Modern Slavery Act, I think, is going to help highlight to Australia there's a lot of need, a lot of need.
And I think even just speaking to you both at the same time is reiterating that this is a huge, very complex issue that needs a lot more attention in terms of long-term and short-term. It's not obviously being addressed in a way that's holistic.
That's it, Jess. We need to be bringing everybody together. And that is one of the factors, I think, that we'll see with the modern slavery legislation that Sally just mentioned. In New South Wales, we have a Modern Slavery Act that was created this year, and that's going to establish an anti-slavery commissioner.
Wow.
Yeah, who will be responsible to monitor slavery, to educate, to raise awareness, to pinpoint areas of need. And in the Commonwealth right now, there is a bill going through Parliament that would introduce national legislation that will require any organisation, whether they're a business or a university or a hospital, to produce a modern slavery statement every single year. if they have an income of over 100 million. They'll have to say whether there's a risk in their supply chain or their operations and what they're doing to address that risk.
Gosh.
It's massive.
That's amazing.
It will be transformative. It's just the beginning, but it links in with Maurice Payne's statement this week, where, you know, the countries together have joined together to say that they will address government procurement in their supply chains.
Which is fantastic.
So it's massive. And just the five countries involved, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the UK and the US, you know, have a national annual spend of over $600 billion. So if these countries are saying that they will take steps to end forced labour in supply chains, it is transformative economically around the world.
It is, absolutely. It's going to be, hopefully, a really huge step in the right direction. Mm. Was there anything else in that statement that kind of, I don't know, was indicative of a good step forward or that was anything of concern potentially? Yeah.
So the public procurement is massive, but there the five countries are also encouraging the private sector to do the same. And that's what we'll see through the modern slavery legislation that's going through Parliament. So that will require a whole range of organisations, including the private sector, to focus on these issues and think about the possibility of slavery in their supply chains. You know, the other two issues that the five countries and others agreed on was to look at recruitment practices and to recognise that slavery is transnational. And so, as you said in the beginning, Jess, that cooperation between countries, but also people within countries, is absolutely critical. This cuts across so many different areas.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. But Jennifer Sally, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I feel like I have learnt so much in the last 10 minutes. Thank you very much.
It was great to be here. Thanks, Jess. Hi, Sally.
That was Professor Jennifer Byrne, Director of Anti-Slavery Australia, and Sally Irwin, she is the founder of Freedom Hub, talking to us about their work to help those living in modern slavery.